And welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, J.P. John Paz. With me, of course, is the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Wonderful, J.P. How are you, my friend?
I am doing pretty good in this crazy, crazy world that we now live in.
Yes, it is. We've talked about it. Yeah, it's crazy. Every day, another story, huh? Let me ask you something. I was watching YouTube, and maybe I'm passe. I heard Meltzer and Alvarez say, not really Alvarez, but Meltzer, that the Forbidden Door that most of the AEW fans knew who all the New Japan guys were. Do you think that's true?
You know what? No, I thought it was specifically for the base. I thought that the fan base didn't really know all the New Japan pro wrestlers. Yes, they knew Okada. Yes, they knew Tanahashi, the big deals, the big guys, but I didn't think they knew a lot of the wrestlers. I followed along with a lot of the AEW fans on social media, and they seemed confused on a bunch of the guys and had no idea who some of the wrestlers even were.
So why did he come out and say that?
I think he's got some rose-colored AEW glasses that he was definitely wearing. But to me, they knew, like, Okada, because he's the big guy, and Tanahashi. But the lesser guys, they did not know. They didn't get a reaction.
Yeah, and I was thinking back 20-odd years ago, you know, we had, Choshu and Tenryu, and we had the big guns who they knew. Our fans knew, but really weren't excited about it, but they were glad to see them. But we bring in some of the lesser known talent. They didn't know who they were. You know what I mean? So, do you think that elevated them or helped them at all? The Forbidden Door, AEW, or is it just something to get their base excited about?
Honestly, I think it was just really to get their base excited, because I didn't see it getting the casual fan at all. It was just for the hardcores.
Okay. And the thing is, you know, every time AEW adds somebody, I say, wow, they've added another great talent, Cicero, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's fabulous. I mean, every time they add somebody, it's to me a great piece of talent. But where are they going with all these guys?
Exactly. Like, will they have enough TV time for a guy like him?
I saw something too that they have now Ring of Honor.
Yep.
Did you see the deal?
Oh, yeah.
And they got indicated that they TV deal too.
Not
what are they going to do there? They got a,
so I no think, TV deal yet, but they are having a pay-per-view at the end of July.
Right, I knew that. So are they going to make it like AEW light, or are they going to make it completely different, do you think?
He has claimed, Tony Khan has claimed he's going to make it different, and it's not going to be AEW light. But to me, it already seems like AEW light because of who's on the show. It just doesn't seem like it's going to succeed, because it definitely has a lesser than feeling to it.
Let me ask you something. This is no knock, it's no praise, it's just a question. You have two companies, JP. Can you really divide them?
Not really, I don't think. Because all those ROH guys have been on AEW.
Right, and mentally, can you divide?
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
Here's where I'm going at. You know the business. You're a smart guy. Could you run two companies. Two companies that are completely different.
It would be really, really tough. I just don't see it. Especially when some of the guys that are in ROH, quote unquote, are on AEW TV.
Yeah, and here's the deal, going back in time. Remember we talked about, you talked about, I think it was last week or the week before, going to an NWO show?
Yep.
Remember, it couldn't have happened because it would look the same. Do you know what I mean? It would look like you put something in a mirror, it's a reverse image, right? You know what I mean? You write something and put it in a piece of paper, put it in the mirror. The words are reversed, but it's the same words. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you separate that? So my thought was, if they do this, he's going to kind of have to hand the reins over to somebody else. Not completely, because he's going to have to step in and out. But does he give this to, like, Jericho, or does he give it to, I don't know. You know who I think must have a very good brain? And I have no idea. I've never even come close to meeting him. Is Moxley. I like his whole thing. I like his style. I like his look. I like his attitude. I like his work. I like his interviews. I like how he takes the business seriously. If they were looking for somebody maybe to groom, to help out, because that job, I don't care who you are. You know the thing, you're a big baseball fan like me, JP.
Mm-hmm.
When a manager's hired, right? It's one day close to getting fired. Nobody can manage forever. Nobody can step in forever. They gotta, except maybe Vince, but you gotta take a step away from it once in a while. So, the other one would be, if you want to get a savant, would be MJF, a young man, that obviously knows the wrestling business. I don't know how, but he does. I mean, he needs some guys to lean on, and looks like he's got a great group of Punk, Danielson. I mean, I could go down the line, Jericho, Regal. I mean, he's got a whole group of smart guys. And maybe he lets one of them kind of take it, and do you know what I'm saying?
Yep, he's got
Does
to.
That make sense to you?
Yeah, I feel like he's got to hand over the reins to somebody. Maybe your boy Kerry Silken could take back over.
I had thought about that. I thought Kerry would be brilliant because the guys really respected Kerry. And the thing about Kerry is he knows a lot of smart people. Luke Williams, who I never hear about get the credit that he deserves. Do you ever hear much about Luke?
No, just that he owns a gym above Hogan's Beach Shop.
Okay. I'm going to tell you about Luke Williams. He's in the top 10 smartest guys I ever met. And I've met Jim Barnett, Eddie Graham, Vince Sr., Leo Garibaldi. Vince Jr., you name him. Luke could put together some of the greatest long-range programs that I've ever seen. He could put together a program to last 18 months. And Kerry's good friend of his. Jim Cornette's good friend of Kerry's. So he has people to ask questions about. I think You mentioned carry. I never thought about it, but that seems like a great idea.
It's funny because Khan was saying that he's just going to do it. I was like, oh, man, I don't know about that. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, that's tough. It's what I said. It's like, okay, let's go to baseball. It's like he's going to manage the Mets and the Phillies. Is he going to make his lineup the same? Is he going to play the same kind of baseball? You know, some teams play small ball, right? Some people play, wait for the big hit. I mean, some people go for a reliever earlier. I mean, so you're patting, and we all, you know what I've talked about, what you and I have talked about, and I always beat the drum about, you don't fall into patterns. It's almost damn near impossible not to fall into patterns when you have two separate shows.
And if the guys in the promotion, you know, have lesser than guys, I think it's harder too. You know what I mean? If you don't separate the guys and make them equal.
Right, right. Okay. Now here's the big problem. What is your end goal with two companies? Do you want Ring of Honor to be on par with a company that you've started from scratch?
Right.
That doesn't diminish AEW at all?
It definitely does, yeah. It could, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you better get, and you brought it up, I did, the guys crossing over, you better keep it to separate. It was like, even though I grew up as an American League baseball fan, I always liked the I would go to National League games because I liked the difference in the way they played ball. You know, the pitcher hitting until, you know, the designated hitter now, right? Well, it's become the same game. This is not going to be easy. And I hear some of these wrestling news shows say, oh, it's great, it's great. It sounds great. I don't see these guys writing shit down to figure out how to get there. Do you seal up the walls if you're Tony and you have Ring of Honor? Do you seal the walls up like they're the Alamo and nobody can get in? I mean, do you let people come and go? I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how they keep this separate. And what they're going to do with it. They either are competitive against AEW, which if they did it right, they could build it up to, you and I have talked about this before, like a World Series, best four out of seven. Well, you could have it a couple of times a year, like they did with the Forbidden Door. But it's going to be with people that the American audience knows. This will be on American TV. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing we're getting into.
And if he's supposed to be paid $40 million for Ring of Honor, which is a rumor, he's got to recoup some of those, you know, some of that $40 million, right?
I would think so. I would think so.
Do you think that's the accurate price, $40 million, the rumor that's out there?
No. It could be, but why overpay for something? I don't know. I have no idea. I shouldn't have said no. I have no idea. I wasn't involved. I have no idea what it was worth. No, I have no idea. What do you think?
I don't know. I kept hearing between 35 and 40 million. I thought that was crazy, but I thought maybe he had some sort of deal with HBO Max and he'd put, you know, 20 years of footage on there along with AEW and maybe do pay-per-views. I thought somehow maybe, but then you're homogenizing everything again. You're putting AEW with ROH, and I don't think that works. So I don't know if it is 40 million. He definitely overpaid.
It's like you said, maybe he could sell the tapes, the best of CM Punk, the best of Samoa Joe. Anybody that was anybody went through Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah, he's got a bunch of those guys now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian Danielson.
Maybe that's why he overpaid. Yeah.
Hopefully he's got a plan, hopefully.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk a little bit today about doing a Q&A. So just random questions from the fans. And the first one is from Jensen Hunt. Are there any celebrities or athletes that Bischoff or yourself really wanted to bring into WCW, but you couldn't?
Yeah, I wanted to bring Ted Williams in and talk about Bill Goldberg. And I had the deal done, but his son changed the price from $20,000 to $100,000 on me.
Who was this for?
For Bill Goldberg. I was going to have Ted Williams talk about lightning in a bottle. You know?
Oh, Ted Williams. Oh, okay.
It was for my own ego. You know, I knew Ted. When I was a kid, there used to be a sportsman show in Boston every year. And I swam against Ted. Ted was selling his Robux athletic equipment back in the day. He was getting paid over $100,000, which was unheard of. And me and three other kids swam against Ted. They had a harness, and they hooked us up to Ted's rod, and we were in the mechanics building in Boston, and I swam against Ted, and he pulled me in. I think I was 10, and he had been retired for a while, you know, but I lived down the street from Ted when I lived in the Keys, and you know, I thought he was the greatest sitter of all times, and I thought, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you would have tuned in, especially at that time, to have Williams talk about Goldberg. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it would just be a little bit different for Bill. It was like when McGuire rubbed his back. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yep.
On Bill?
Yep.
But all kinds of outside publicity. That's what I was trying to do for Williams.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. How much money did his son want?
Ted wanted, originally they wanted 25, 20 to 25. The son on the last, like the 11th hour, said he wouldn't do it less than 100 grand for like 2 minutes. I said, nah, that ain't going to work.
Wow. Speaking of Goldberg, from A Wrestling Historian, why didn't Bill Goldberg win back the WCW title? He was only one-time champion.
I have no idea. I was off the tour, but that, I mean, you know, remember I told you about boats? I had a boat that I would never service on occasion in my life. You got to take that boat out, I'm afraid, when you're up there in the ocean, it's going to break down, and you'll never get service. Every time I got service, I'd leave the cut on the water, and I wouldn't even get home, and it'd break down again. If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. So Goldberg should have been multi-time champion.
When you look back,
especially with, yeah.
Oh yeah, what were you going to say?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, especially if the finishes, if he will get smashed, if he went to fucking spear Nash and Nash moved and he hit the post and Nash powerbombed him, they could have had a series of matches all over. You know, and that's why I always laugh when people say, oh, Nash screwed him. Nash was a good soldier. What did he get out of it? How many weeks was it later when the finger poke of doom came?
1 week later. So he basically got like a 1 week title run.
Okay. All these geniuses that knocked Nash.
Yeah, they're wrong at knocking Nash. He was only champion for a week and then he laid down to the finger poke of doom.
Yeah. And so to me, Nash, people forget about people's background. Nash was a soldier. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Germany? Yep.
He did what a good soldier is told to do, take orders. And he was smart because he was getting paid. And he's taken the heat all these years. And I never hear anybody say, well, who... Nobody puts on their Sherlock Holmes hats. Elementary, dear Watson, elementary, who succeeded in this. Nobody seems to get the whole picture. They're all smart until you ask them a question.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like who ended up being the victor, if you will, or who got the spoils from the Goldberg loss to Nash, and it wasn't even Nash. You would think, oh, Nash beat Goldberg, champion for less than a week, you know, essentially, or really a week, and then Hogan beats him with a finger.
Right. And remember what happened? Goldberg beat Hogan, right? So anytime I just watched something recently about the Ultimate Warrior. That's all that was, to get the win back, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Seemed like it.
So, yeah. So all these people that think they're very, very smart, I'm not saying I am or you are on Ashes, but unless you look at the outcome and see who benefits by it, don't make a decision until you go to the end. As they say in politics, follow the money, right?
Yep. Very, very true. I love that line when Jesse the Body always says, follow the money.
Yeah.
So when you look back, who had the more amazing year, 1997 Sting or 1998 Goldberg? And that's from Pete.
Goldberg came from nowhere, and it was just phenomenal. Not discounting Sting, I mean, but Sting had been made by Flair on the first Clash of Champions. He had been in the mix. Goldberg became organic. Do you know what I mean? As much as over as Sting was, people didn't get at 2 months into his wrestling career, people weren't chanting Sting, Sting, Sting an hour before the show was on. And that's not knocking Sting at all. He's one of the biggest draws of all times. So the top 10 for sure.
With that, do you think that in 98 when Goldberg wins the title, was that because he was so popular or was that a direct response to WWF starting to beat you guys?
Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
So when Goldberg wins the title in 98, WWF had starting to, you know, started to win a few weeks on Raw. So they were starting to win the Monday Night War. Did he win the title because WWF started winning or was it always kind of a plan because he got so popular to give him the title in 98?
It was because we were going to have it in Atlanta, and all the North Tower and all the executives were going to be there. So what did they drop? 43,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
It made everybody look good. Everybody looked smart. And then when Goldberg beat Hogan, you know, the pop, it's still resonating.
No doubt about it. It was huge. The WWF, obviously, at that point, was starting to win. But when Goldberg beat Hogan that night, they won that night on Nitro significantly.
Right, right.
So the next...
Man, think about this.
Yes.
Think about this. All the executives there, they have a good time. 43,000 people. They had parties afterwards. The next day, they go in, and they're in the North Tower, and they get their ratings where we beat WWE or S at the time. Oh, look at the ratings. That Goldberg went, oh, this is great. They were felt like they were part of something, really, for the first time. Meaning the North Tower.
I could see that. Yep.
Really moved by Eric.
Yep.
Really moved by Eric.
So, this is from Mod Third. What was the protocol in place if Vince McMahon had shown up at Slamboree 98 and accepted Eric Bischoff's challenge?
Send Ming out. Yeah.
Did you guys even think he would show up, or you didn't really think he was going to show up?
No, we knew he wouldn't show up. Eric, you know, Vince wouldn't have shown up. Not that he was scared. It was just, you know, recognizing us, he wasn't going to do it.
Was there ever an inkling of thought that he would show up?
No, no. Everybody knew he wouldn't show up.
If he had showed up and, let's say, was getting the better of Eric, was that would something have been in place, like to make sure Eric got the upper hand?
I'm not sure who would have stepped into that position, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Probably security and police, but, I mean, with the wrestlers, I don't know. And Eric was well-liked with a lot of the guys, regardless what you hear. You know, guys bitching and moaning. Most guys like Eric Bischoff.
So the next question is from Jesse Inman. At Halloween Havoc 1998, Bret Hart used a bat on Sting, and we didn't see Sting again until March of 99. Why was he written off TV for so long?
You're going to have to help me on this one. Wasn't he up for a bunch of movies at that time? Because I remember we had to dance around some of his acting lessons.
And he was also
in L.A. and Nevada.
And he was also injured. Right. So when he came back, remember he had like the white tape wrapped around his ankles and stuff? He did have some sort of injury at that point too. So he did do some house shows, not from October basically to January. He was off then. He did some house shows in January, February, and a little bit of March, but not many. And then he geared up and then returned really March. And then April is kind of when he really kicked it into gear. But it was definitely some injuries involved too.
Yeah, I remember that now. You're right. Absolutely.
Smartly, obviously, Bret Hart beat him up and like kind of took him out, which we talked about last week about when if a guy's injured, should he be taken out so somebody can benefit in the storyline?
Right, right. I think there should be.
So the next question is from Brad Saunders. Whose decision was it to change the WCW logo and the Nitro stage setup back in 1999?
I think that came from the North Tower. I think that came that the North Tower had hired maybe Harvey Schiller, you know, who's the head of entertainment. I think they were going through a deal where they hired a marketing company that had marketed the Oakland Raiders, if I got this right in my head. And they hired that company, and the company came back and said, yeah, a new logo.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, it was a decision that I had, Eric had no influence on at all. So it didn't matter whether I liked it or not. They were going to do it.
I was not a big fan of it. It looked like a big, like, I guess, starship or I don't know. It looked like a big airplane or something. It just was a weird logo to me.
It was to me, too, but, you know, you can't. I learned early on in the wrestling business, if there's nothing you can do about something, there's no sense fretting about it. All it does is drain energy. Now, if you can do something about it and can fight for it, yeah. But if it's above you, don't worry about it, especially when we became a corporate entity wrestling.
Yeah, to me it was a weird logo. It didn't scream WCW. It just was weird.
Yeah, you're right.
Next question is from Fantasy Handbook. Which WCW guy leaving for the WWF in the Monday Night War did you think was going to be the biggest loss, their biggest gain, meaning WWF, Chris Jericho or The Big Show?
I thought, no disrespect to anybody, but I thought Jericho. The Giant was falling. Paul was falling. Andre, which is impossible. And Jericho was having incredible matches with cruiserweights, the super heavyweights.
And both had great debuts because Big Show showed up from underneath the cage, rolled underneath the ring, destroyed it, and threw Austin straight through the cage, leading to him being with McMahon. Obviously, the handle after that terribly. And Jericho had a great debut that still gets talked about today with The Rock. They didn't really follow it up that great, but he had a great debut. And obviously, I think Jericho had the better career, but they were both multi-time world champions and both main eventers there for a long time. Yeah, that's a tough one. I guess I would probably say Jericho, too.
Yeah.
Do you see Jericho going back there?
Yeah. No, I think he'll ride this thing out. I wouldn't say never, but right now I'd say he's got a great position. I think he'll ride this out, and rightfully so. But that doesn't mean he couldn't go to WWE at any time. I'm sure the door is completely wide open for him.
Yeah, he just had a 30-second to a minute video congratulating John Cena on 20 years. But it's interesting, to see an AEW guy on WWE TV. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
I've also heard, I've never heard this anywhere else, but a few people like in the business were saying that Jericho may be part owner of AEW, like a very small percentage. But have you ever heard that, that he was like a part owner or had a percentage?
No, I never have. But that doesn't mean it's not true.
That's a good point.
I don't see the cons giving up percentages. I see them maybe giving them bonuses, but percentages, I'm not sure if that would be the way the cons would operate. But if anybody would get a percentage, it would be Jericho.
So next question is from Rick Spade. Hindsight being 2020, is there any talent you wish you had wrestle Hulk Hogan during the NWO era for the world title to help build more stars?
That I wish Hogan had wrestled?
Yeah, so that you built more like younger stars, I guess they're trying to say.
Oh, Eddie Guerrero. Jumps off the page at me.
Do you think Jericho Benoit, too, could have been in that same category with Eddie?
Yeah, the only difference was Eddie being Hispanic and speaking both languages fluently. Not knocking Jericho Benoit, but, man, we had opened the floodgates with the luchadors, right?
Yep.
You were the first ones to bring the luchadors. I recognized when I went to Denver, I was shocked. I see Mexican flags, Chicago, Charlotte, all these places with a huge Hispanic populations, and the majority were Mexicans. Eddie Guerrero, second generation. Told stories about his father, his uncles, his brothers, and being put down by Hogan and the NWO. Not that those Jericho and Benoit couldn't have done it, but they didn't have the backstory that he did.
Very true. It would have been interesting to see some more opponents for the Hulkster. Eddie being a good one. Yeah, definitely. Didn't even think about him. Yeah.
And talking Spanish?
Yep.
Yeah.
This question is from Living Large 87. If Sable was hired in WCW, what would you have had planned for her?
I never heard her name ever come up. So I don't think, that thought ever went across anybody's mind.
Trying to remember the date that it was, but there was a Nitro where she showed up in the crowd. Yeah, it was either the summer of 99 or the fall of 99. I'll try to find out a date.
I was gone then.
Yeah, I think it was I think it was June of 99. She wasn't in WCW, but she showed up and she sat in the crowd.
And that was when Russo was
starting,
correct?
No. Nash was really the booker there. And I think you were still there, but maybe just the assistant. This is a little bit this is pre-Russo. But she had just had a fallout with the WWF, and she was suing them and all this other stuff. But she technically was still under a WWF contract. So they showed her in the crowd, and they're like, oh, that's Rena Mero. So it was really weird. It was like, wow, can they do that? You know what I mean? Like, I know she's in the crowd, but they're saying, you know what? They're saying who it is.
That would be Eric Skull. Yeah. Yeah.
Risky, right? Legally?
Yeah. Yeah.
So from Daniel's. Yeah, oh yeah. So from Daniel Scarpone, the next question, if Shawn Michaels had jumped in 1999, what would you have done with him, and how big of a headache do you think he would have been with the other wrestlers and you and creative?
He's one of the greatest performers of all times. If you have a problem, it's on you. I mean, could the click have caused a problem? But I'm going to tell you a story. This is how smart Nash, Hall, and Michaels are, okay? If Shawn had come over, it would have shut the door for them to say, either way, I'm going to jump back. Having them split was something they all joined in and agreed to do. Nash and Hall didn't want Shawn to come over or again to take away the stories they tell you. It's horseshit. They wanted people to know that they had friends in both places. It was a power play, untalked about. It was one of the smartest things ever done.
Leverage, right? Big time leverage.
Yep. Big time, and no one ever talks about it. Huge leverage.
Would you have wanted Michaels, though, if he was available?
Of course. God, how could you not want one of the greatest workers of all times?
You didn't mind if he was a headache.
People say, well, I was going to say, people are going to say he's a headache, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much a headache was he going to be with Dashby in the book?
Not much. You would take that much, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I knew that they weren't going to cross over. They're the best of friends. He didn't come over. I'm sure Kevin could have got him any kind of money deal he wanted. They kept that open. The resistance to the war, you know what I mean?
For sure. HBK and the NWO, that would have been pretty crazy. You know, you pretty much would have had the click.
Yeah.
So the next question is, why did Bryan Adams stop playing the Kiss Demon?
I think it had something to do with Dale Torborg. I think they decided to go with Dale and actually paid him, put him on payroll. Because I just saw Dale recently, and Dale kind of indicated that he goes around and goes to signing smart kids. So I think he's still on the payroll. Good for him.
Wow, look at Dale. Huh. Did you like Dale better as the Kiss Demon, or you liked Bryan Adams?
Well, you asked me who was better?
Yeah.
Dale looks like he's 20 feet tall. They both were great. Both were great. And I like Bryan Adams. I liked him as that crush character. One of the great vignettes I ever saw was when he was diving in Hawaii, free diving.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was just me because I like the free. I used to like to free dive a lot. But, you know, here's a guy, 270 to 890, free diving. There's turtles around him. He's spearing fish. You know. I kind of like that character that he had.
Kona Crush, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So next question is from Stu. He says, I was wondering which time period was harder for you to book, WCW in 1999 or when you came back for a brief period of time in early 2000?
Probably 2000, because by that time, you know, there had been before me a completely different change, and I knew we had hit the iceberg, and I knew there was no saving it.
Plus, in 2000, that's when Benoit, Eddie, Dean, and Perry all want to walk out on you, too. I mean, that couldn't have been easy.
No, that wasn't easy, and that really hurt, but was done before. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So Justin has a question. It says, which wrestler seemed to have the least regard for money, a.k.a. they didn't seem to care what their paycheck was?
Did you? I was supposed to figure out who? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like who do you think was the wrestler that cared least about money?
Gee, I don't know. Because when I got to WCW, everybody's bitching about money. You know what I mean? I look at it and I say, wow, the money they were being paid 25 years ago was incredible. And, but they were bitching about it. I think some of the guys that were had come up the hard way or were young were happy to get a nice payday every week. And rightfully so, it really changed the business. It was good for the people. Because, you know, not knowing what you're going to make every week is a hard job.
Yeah, it seems like they would. Everyone, hopefully, would be money driven, and that they'd all want more money. You would hope.
Yeah.
I was talking to a wrestler not that long ago. Like, I would have done it for free, and I was right. You know what I mean? No, you wouldn't have done it for free. What? That's crazy.
Absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. Could do it for free.
So the next question from KSCC07. Did anyone ever not want to hold a title or flat out refuse to have a title run?
No. Not as a corporation company. I'm sure there might have been a few guys back when the NWA had a champion, you know, that when I broke into the JP, and I think I'm off by a couple, less. There were 37 NWA 37 territories when I broke into business. You want me to name a few, like? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There were two in Montreal. There was Toronto. There was also Ontario. There was North Bay. There was Windsor. There was Calgary. There was Vancouver. Then there was Washington was a territory. Portland was a territory. Rod Fenton had Montana. There was two in California. Actually, there was three in California. Northern California, San Francisco, and L.A. It was Arizona, New Mexico, London had it. It was in Texas. There was the San Antonio territory. There was the Dallas territory. There was the Houston territory. There was the Amarillo territory. Oklahoma was a territory. Louisiana was a territory when I first got in the business before Watts. Mississippi was a territory. Owned by the same people, but they're two separate territories. And the Gulf Coast was a territory. Florida was a territory. Georgia was a territory. Alabama was a territory. Nashville had Memphis and Nashville and Knoxville, three different ends of the territory. St. Louis, you know, was a town by itself, but it was, you know, you worked that out of Kansas City. Omaha was a territory. Vern's territory. Jim Barnett owned part of Chicago, part of Vegas, part of all of Colorado, part of Kentucky, part of Detroit. Out of Indiana. West Virginia was a territory. Pittsburgh was a territory. Buffalo was a territory. There were two territories in Boston. And I know I'm missing some. Oh, North Carolina. And then in North Carolina, there was a territory in Dutch's brother had a territory in TV in South Carolina. So, I mean, there was a lot of territories. So, I'm sure there must have been some guy that could have been NWA champion who wanted to go to all those places. I know that Terry, at the end of his run, and Jack Briscoe asked for the belt to be taken off them.
Yeah, that's the only reason I can really think. Either too much travel or like that weird thing where guys don't want to carry the belt through the airport because it's extra weight in their bag or whatever. That may be the only two reasons.
But that the belt back in the day, nah, that didn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That didn't matter back in the day. You know, they let you carry anything on, for Christ's sakes. I remember when they used to let you carry rifles on. Do you?
Crazy, but true, yeah.
Yeah.
So, from Brian Talbot, what wrestler or gimmick did you have the biggest or highest hopes for and the most confidence for during your time in WCW that didn't pan out the way you expected it to?
I always thought that Barry Windham should have been a huge star. It was very... was happy in his life, and he would take a lot of time off. He was the greatest babyface I think I've ever been in the ring with. And if you don't believe it, watch his matches. He's handsome. When he was a young boy with blonde hair, when he was about 21 years old, you'd take him and throw him over the top rope. He wouldn't even touch the top rope, and splatter girls would be screaming and crying. You could beat him up. With Barry, I could lay it in, and he didn't care. I'd throw him from over the top, and he'd start to come back, and I'd get on the apron, and I'd feel a gold woman in the head, and hair and sweat would go up in the blood and the girls would cry. He was so good. But when you got him rolling, you know, he'd say, hey, I gotta take 6 weeks off. I'm going skiing or I'm going horseback ride or whatever. Great guy. Great human being. Father. Great family. Can't say enough about him.
From Spanish Goddish. What is your thoughts, or what was your thoughts, on Sean O'Hare?
I didn't get to know much. I thought he had a lot of ability. But we were like two ships passing in the night. But from what I saw, I thought he had a lot of ability. It looked incredible.
Yeah, he was the guy, like, I thought in 2001, like, man, maybe this could be, like, the next guy, just because his look, he could talk a little bit, but really the look, his athleticism, he was 6'5", he had charisma out the yin-yang, he seemed like the next guy, possibly.
Did he die by his own hand, JP?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Sad.
Yeah, very, very, very sad on him.
Yeah, I saw something just recently. I was watching something about Hogan and the guys wrestling Lowe's the Renegade. And I didn't, for some reason, I forgot that it took his own life. He was only 33 years old. Wow.
Nuts,
sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes things suck. But man, that's why, you know, you have to have something to believe in. Horrible.
Did you ever think the Renegade would go further, or you knew, like, this is not going to work out?
No, if you... you look at them, right? And you could see, he's trying to replace the Ultimate Warrior, correct?
Yeah.
In your mind's eye, you have a very good look at Rick. He looks like a powerlifter, not a bodybuilder, right?
Yep.
kind of bloated. Stomach's distended a little. That's from powerlifting. He's trying to copy the Renegade. And when they took the gimmick off of him and wiped it off, he's, you know, just plain old Rick. Mentally, I don't think he was ready for to hear that. It was done on national TV. Do you remember that?
Yep.
It's pretty hard. I always say that wrestling meets its young.
Very true. Yeah, no doubt. From Kurt Radke. How did you feel about Chris Benoit winning the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania 20?
Say that again. You broke up or I didn't hear the whole thing. I'm sorry.
How did you feel about Chris Benoit winning the WWE World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania 20?
It was my call.
No, in WWE. No, WrestleMania 20.
WWE?
Yeah, when he won the title at WrestleMania.
I thought it was great. I made him the World Heavyweight Champion. I made him the World Heavyweight Champion. And when I brought him and Sid in, and Sid says, I wouldn't do this, explain to me why I'm putting a 5'7" guy over. I said, because he deserves it. And he said, okay, I'll go along with it. And I had the match of the year with him, and it was all him, you know what I mean? Back in 97, I think, was in 96, in Baltimore. He was a fabulous, fabulous worker. He deserved it.
Did you feel vindicated at all? Like I told you, you know, this guy was a world champion.
No, I think by then everybody knew he was. You know, everybody knew how intense and how good he was.
Was there ever any hard feelings towards him, though? Like bitterness or anything, or no?
No. No, because we had a separation 6 months prior to we had the shot at that angle. I was living in the Keys, she was living in Daytona. So there was no... We were gone our separate ways by that time. No.
Can you believe that people were saying at the time that you were involved with the murder and the like? Can you believe that?
Did I believe it?
No, like, can you believe that people actually said that? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, people are stupid. People are stupid. You know, I mean, that's how stupid people are, and that's how people really don't give a shit about other people. You know, my kids heard that when they were young. And, you know, people don't give a shit, you know. You know, it was crazy.
So one final question from Jonathan Hulling. Any good recommendations for a wrestling book?
Yeah, the original Sheep book. I just read it. It's called, let me see if I get it. It's, I think it's right here. Hold on. Yep, I got it. It's called Blood and Fire. Blood, Fire, and the Unbelievable Real Life Story of Wrestling's Original Sheik by Brian Solomon. I'm peppered through the book because I was very close with him. To me, the greatest heel of all times. By far.
Damn, I thought that was going to be an easy layup for you to talk about old school.
Yeah, well, old school is too. Old school is, there's a lot of the Sheik in that book. It's, you can get it on Amazon. But that is a historical fiction, old school. This is... homage to a dear friend of mine, and I was at the end of his career when I used to go to Japan and go over and protect him on the way out. But old school, if you really want to get a chance to read a historical fiction that's very, it's starting to catch on now. It's, you can get it on, it's Ring Squared World Press website, and you can get it on Amazon.com.
Nice, and that's where we'll head towards the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two-Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com, patreon.com/tmptempire. Also go to Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com, and visit the Kevin Sullivan store, and follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Kevin, what else you got going on? Any upcoming appearances?
I don't have anything until the middle of July. This is the time of year I go fishing, so I'm going fishing and diving for a couple of weeks, actually about three. But other than that, I'll be around. You and I will barge on, JP.
Yes, sounds great. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.